Hey, did you see this?
Let me see.
Whoa, Jared cheated on Abby? Isn't that like the third person he's cheated on in the past year?
Yeah, man, the dude is a serial cheater. By now you'd think you would know better after getting caught over and over again.
That's crazy. You gotta wonder, is someone like him wired differently than you and me?
What do you mean?
I don't know, it's just like, the idea of being sexually involved with multiple people at once is so weird to me. For me, love is a prerequisite for sex, you know? They're a package deal.
Yeah, dude, you're a monogamist. A lot of people are. Jared is certainly not one of them.
Yeah, I know that, but do you think it's something beyond just a feeling or a personal choice? I'm thinking like, what if there's something different about our brains that makes me a monogamist and Jared not?
I'm glad you asked!
What the hell? Who said that?
Dude, what is going on?
How should I know? This is your house.
Hello, Paul. Hello, Brett. My name is Mr. Frazzle, and today I'll be taking you on a tour through the fascinating world of human and non-human monogamy.
Do you know who this guy is?
No!
I'm calling 911.
Brett, to answer your question from before, neuroscience research has shown that monogamous and non-monogamous human brains do in fact look different, particularly when you're comparing their brain activity in response to romantic and sexual stimuli. However, before we go any deeper into what the science says about humans, it's important to first look at the fundamentals of monogamy research and explore what the animal kingdom has taught us about these topics. Any questions before we start?
So many. How did you...
Wonderful! I'm sure we'll get to all of them at some point during the tour. Ready? Hello? 911? There's a man? Let's go! Just smell that fresh air. Damn it! I lost service.
How did we end up in a field?
It's important to start by saying that social monogamy, that is, when a pair of animals live together, share resources, help each other survive, and are each other's primary sexual partners, is actually quite rare in most parts of the animal kingdom, especially in mammals. In fact, only 3% of all mammal species practice social monogamy. That being said, we're currently standing in the habitat of one of the most monogamous mammals out there besides humans. Take a look at what I have in each of my hands.
Whoa! Where did you get those?
Fine-looking pair of rats you got there.
In my hands, I hold a prairie vole and a meadow vole. The genetics of these two vole species are extremely similar, but there's a very key behavioral difference between the two. Prairie voles are firmly socially monogamous, whereas meadow voles are quite the opposite. Let's explore why, shall we? Now, here we are inside the brain of a prairie vole.
What?!
You know what? That's sick. Not even mad. Or surprised, really.
Don't mind those electrical shocks you'll hear from time to time. Those are just coming from the neurons reaching action potentials and firing all around us.
This is insane!
You know, I'm learning to embrace it.
Now, pay attention to what's about to happen. Right now, we're beneath an area of the brain known as the bed nucleus of the stria terminalis, or BNST. This region is very involved in the process of recognizing mating partners, which is what the little fella who owns this brain is doing right now. As this vole looks upon his mate, a flood of neural activity is concentrated in this brain region and many other reward areas of the brain, such as the nucleus accumbens and the medial amygdala. Now, if you take a look at the ends of those neurons, you'll see the three main brain chemicals that we're interested in.
Yeah, I'm seeing three different shapes over there. What are they?
That one right there is oxytocin, popularly known as the love chemical. It's very important in the process of bonding with a mate, otherwise known as pair bonding. That one right there is dopamine, one you might have heard of before. Dopamine is known as the feel-good chemical. It comes out in droves whenever an animal does something rewarding, and is the brain's way of telling us, yes, do more of this, please! Finally, there's vasopressin, which regulates the brain's reward circuits when an animal is pair bonding with another member of its species. Notice how so many of these chemicals are flying all around us and attaching themselves to all these different BNST neurons.
While I'm still very confused and scared, this is pretty beautiful. I could just sit here and watch this for a while, honestly.
Right! No time to lose. Let's visit the brain of this fella's ancestral cousin, shall we?
Oh, God, I feel nauseous.
Where are we now?
We're right at the same spot, just a different brain. This is the BNST of a meadow vole, which, if you recall, is the more sexually promiscuous of the two vole cousins. This vole is also sniffing out a mating partner, but notice what's different about how those same three neurochemicals from before bind to these meadow vole neurons.
Huh. Looks like a lot less are sticking to the neurons this time around.
That's exactly right! Think of brain chemicals such as oxytocin, dopamine, and vasopressin as keys that go in locks on neurons called receptors, which actually allow neurons to fire when activated. The main difference between the brains of meadow voles and prairie voles is that prairie vole brains contain many more receptors for oxytocin, dopamine, and vasopressin in key reward areas of the brain, such as the BNST here. So, when prairie voles mate, because they have so many more receptors for these different love chemicals being released, the reward areas of their brains start firing more and make the voles feel happier, which is their brain's way of telling them that they should stay with their partner? Yes! Brilliant! Someone's been paying attention!
Hey, nice job, dude.
Thanks. You know, I think I'm on the brink of a nervous breakdown. The opposite is then true for meadow voles. Without as many receptors in these reward pathways, their brains don't give them as much of an incentive to stay with the same mate for an extended period of time.
Hey, Mr. Frazzle, all this stuff is great, but does any of it apply to humans?
Yeah, as much as I'd love to keep hanging around vole brains, the main question I had was whether or not the brains of people like myself and Jared might be different. Fantastic question! The same reward areas we've been discussing have indeed been shown to correlate with feelings of romantic love in monogamously pair-bonded humans. As I mentioned before, there is strong evidence showing differences in brain activity between monogamous and non-monogamous individuals when they're exposed to certain types of stimuli. Let's go visit your friend Jared, shall we? Ah, here we are! Ah! Jeez, Mr. Frazzle, don't scare me like that! Wait, Jared, you know this guy? Oh, hey, Brett. Yeah, he's been popping into my room all day talking to people about monogamy and stuff. This is like the fifth time he's been here.
Hi, Jared. I guess word about me and Abby really caught on, huh? Like wildfire, dude.
A 2017 study by researchers Lisa Hamilton and Cindy Meston compared patterns of brain activity between monogamous and non-monogamous men when they were looking at romantic pictures and sexual pictures. The romantic pictures were your standard scenes of lovers holding hands, hugging, etc., and the sexual pictures were all of, well, couples having sex.
Ha! Righteous!
The results of the study showed that the same reward-oriented brain regions lit up for both groups when they were looking at the sexual pictures, but some interesting differences emerged when comparing brain activity responses to the romantic pictures. Brett, you'd say you're a monogamous person, correct?
About as monogamous as they come.
Mind if I whip out my portable fMRI to use on you?
You won't feel a thing.
I'm pretty sure those don't exist in real life, but
sure, why not?
Paul, Jared, gather round. Now, using Brett's brain to illustrate, here are the brain areas that were activated when the monogamous men viewed sexual stimuli, and here are the brain areas that were activated when they looked at romantic stimuli.
Did I miss something, or was there not much of a difference between the two?
Well observed, Paul! Researchers found that there was practically no difference in the brain regions that were activated by the romantic pictures and sexual pictures for the monogamous men. Additionally, all of the brain regions that were activated by these pictures were the same reward areas as those mentioned before when we were in the vole brain, such as the BNST.
The what?
These results told researchers that romance and sex were viewed as equally pleasurable concepts in the minds of monogamous men, likely because these men had rewarding pair-bonding experiences throughout their life. Thank you, Brett.
My pleasure.
Jared, if you would please.
No problem, dude. Go wild with your brain scan thingy.
Using Jared's brain to illustrate, let's look at what the results were for non-monogamous men. Here are the regions that were activated with the sexual pictures.
Pretty similar to what we saw before, right?
Now, here are the regions that were activated with the romantic pictures.
Whoa, those are totally different. And kind of all over the place?
Yes! The brain areas activated by romantic images for non-monogamous men were primarily in the cerebral cortex, or the thinking part of the brain. These findings showed that non-monogamous men didn't associate romance with pleasure nearly as much as the monogamous men had.
Pictures of lovey stuff are, like, cool and all, but I look at them like I look at paintings in a fancy art museum. They're nice to look at, but they don't make me want to have sex, you know?
Oh,
God, too far, Jared.
All in all, the results of this study show that there are functional brain differences between monogamous and non-monogamous men, and these differences map on quite well to the foundational research on differences between monogamous and non-monogamous voles.
I hope that answers your original question, Brett.
It actually does?
Thanks.
Anytime! Now, just to be clear, even though Jared here doesn't treat women with any respect,
hey!
He's certainly not representative of every person who chooses to live a non-monogamous lifestyle. Consensually non-monogamous relationships are becoming commonplace nowadays and should not be a target of shaming. Now then, any questions before I depart?
Yes!
You're such an inquisitive bunch. That'll get you far in life. Until we meet next time, friends!
Next time?
I gotta say, that was super weird, but I feel better for it.
I think I agree. Certainly learned a lot. Oh, teleporting gave me a killer headache, though.
Yo, guys, not to
ruin the vibe,
but would you mind leaving my house?
Damn, he really just teleported away without bringing us back to my place, didn't he?
Thanks a lot, Mr. Frazzle.
You're welcome!